world coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on our Sunday school. Yes, it's time, it's time, it's time again to study our Sunday school lesson. So go get your Sunday school book and go get your Bible and study along with us today as we study our Sunday school lesson. Today, our lesson is entitled, A Plea for Restoration. A Plea for Restoration. And it will be taken out of the book of Lamentation. Lamentation. And we'll look at the last chapter of the book of Lamentation. Lamentation chapter 5. Lamentation chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at that chapter in its entirety, Lamentation chapter 5. And it reads like this, beginning with verse 1. Remember, O Lord, what is come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are widows. We have drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. We have given the hand to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have bore their iniquity. Servants have ruled over us. There is none that does deliver us out of their hands. We got our bread with pearls of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. Our skin was black like an oven because of terrible famine. They ravished the women's in Zion and the maids in the city of Judah. Princes are hanged up by their hands. The faces of elders were not honored. They took the young men to grind, and children fell under the wood. The elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music. Verse 15, the joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. The crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. For this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim. Because of the mountains of Zion, which is desolated. The foxes walk upon it. Thou, O Lord, remaineth forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever, and forsake us so long time? Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. But thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we praise you for who you are, the God who hear and you still answer prayers. Speak to our hearts now in a mighty way. For it's in Jesus' wonderful name we do pray. Amen. All right, our lesson today is taken out of the book of Lamentation. The book of Lamentation is a book that was written by the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah, he was a prophet that lived 600 years before our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And Jeremiah saw the fall of Jerusalem. He saw when Nebuchadnezzar first took the first group of captives, Daniel and Ezekiel. They went in 605 B.C. And then Nebuchadnezzar came again against the city again. And 597 B.C., 597 and 598 B.C. And then in 586 B.C., he came against the city, and that time he took over the city. And so Jeremiah was an eyewitness to the fall of Jerusalem. Now, you think about it. He saw the fall of his nation. Just think, if you woke up one morning and you cut on the television and you was watching CNN and you saw that Washington, D.C. done been overtaken by Russia. Russia is now running things here in America, and every major city in America now is under the occupation of Russian rule. And they are tearing up America. They're just tearing it up. And then you took out your pen and paper and you started just walking around writing about everything that you see. That's basically the book of Lamentation. As Jeremiah is walking around the city, he's documenting everything that he's seeing and everything that he's hearing. He's looking at the devastation of this particular country, and he's crying. It's just bringing tears to Jeremiah's eyes, and that's why, you know, a lot of the preachers today, they call Jeremiah the weeping prophet. And so, but you think about the reason why he's weeping is because he saw the rise and the fall of his nation. You know, Jeremiah prophesied for about 40 years, and he was a young man. He probably was 20 years old when God called him to preach. And now Jeremiah is 60 some years old, and he's walking around this city, and it's nothing. It's just nothing there. It's a desolation. So let's get into this book of Lamentation. It ends with a prayer. It starts, when you look at chapter 1, it starts by observation. Jeremiah's writing down his observation of the desolation of Jerusalem. When you look back at chapter 1, verse 1 says, "How does the city sit lonely that was full of people? How is it become a widow, she that was great among the nation and princes among the providence? How is she become a vassal where somebody else is ruling us today?" And so that's how it starts, but it ends with a plea. Listen to the people prayer. It says, remember, O Lord, what we remember, O Lord, what has come upon us, and consider and behold our reproach. Notice he says, God, check us out. Look at us, Lord. We are ashamed. That word reproach basically means a shame. We are ashamed. This is none but a shame. You think about it. That's why Jeremiah is asked over there in chapter 1. That's why he started the book. Like he started the book. How does the city sat lonely that was full of people? You know? And he said, now we are a city of shame. And then he goes on. Why you say that, Jeremiah? Well, he tells you why he says that. He's going to describe for us the condition of the people. Look at this. He says, our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. Remember, the Canaan land was the promised land. And God promised the Jews, Israel, that I'm going to give you that land. And up under Joshua, remember, they did conquer that land. But now look what Jeremiah says. Our inheritance, and that was their inheritance. Our inheritance is turned to strangers. Our houses to aliens. See, it was always God's intention for every man to have his own land, to grow his own food, to have his own measure of independence. But notice, he says, we done lost it. We done lost our property. That's what he's saying in verse number 2. We done lost our property. Our inheritance is turned to strangers. Strangers got it. Our houses to aliens. And so they burned up a lot of houses. But you think about it, the houses that did remain, you got strangers living in them, alien, foreign people living in the houses that you were supposed to live in, that the Israelites were supposed to live in. But then look at verse number 3. Not only did they lose their property, they lost their families. Look what he says in verse 3. We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are widows. And so you think about, what is an orphan? An orphan is somebody that don't have no parents. And so notice you got a lot of children running around, but they ain't got no mama and daddy. And then you got a lot of mothers are running around, but they done lost their children. Their children done got killed. And so you got a picture of helplessness. The orphans and widows was the poorest people in the land. And so you got a picture of helplessness. These people, they can't even hardly help themselves, because they widows and they orphans. You know, a little child, 8, 10 years old, 5 years old, he can't really take care of himself. But this is the picture that Jeremiah is seeing. Jeremiah is seeing all of these fatherless and motherless children running around. What a sad picture, ladies and gentlemen. But then notice, not only did they lose their property and then I lost their parents and children, but look at what else they done lost. In verse number 4, he says, we have drunken our water for money, our wood is sold unto. And see, because they lost their property, then I lost their wells and what have you, now they got to go and buy water. They got to go buy water and they got to go buy wood. You know, the stuff that I see us, you can always tell when a nation is going down. One of the signs of a nation that is going down is where you know, number one, done lost your independence. And then number 2, you don't own anything. You no longer are an owner. You don't have private property. And this is what's happened in Jeremiah's day, but I see the same thing happening in our day, ladies and gentlemen. We don't own, our foreparents. Our foreparents, our mamas and daddies and grandmamas and granddaddies, they wanted to buy some land, and they did. They bought land, and then they grew their own food on the land. They raised hogs and cows and chickens, all kind of animals. And then they raised gardens and things and fields and stuff. And they had peas and corn and okra and greens and spinach. And they grew their own food. And then they even, you know, with the cows, they had their own milk and stuff. They had their own wells where they got their own water. But now you think about how it is in America today. Most people are renting. They staying in rent houses, an apartment, we got to go to the store to buy everything, to buy food. We got to go to a store to buy the food. We got to go to a store to even get water, fresh water, to drink. Think about it. We're paying for water. I was talking to the lady the other day. I went into the a drugstore, and she was telling me about senior citizen. They offered senior citizen discount there at this store. And I said, that's really good. I said, you know, I remember just as a little boy how people used to honor senior citizens and stuff. People would do things for senior citizens. And we even just lived in a more of a benevolent society. I said, I can remember when you could drive up to a serving station. I don't, regardless what the service station was, they had free air and they had free water. All you had to just drive up and punch a button or squeeze the nozzle and the water came out. But today you gotta drive up to, and not only do you, it takes quarters and stuff, you gotta even pay some time with like a credit card to just get to air your tires up at the gas station. It used to didn't be that way. You used to have a little boy that would run out there and air that gas, I mean, pump your gas, put air there in the tire, because they had like full service or self-service. But today, all of that is gone, ladies and gentlemen. And we got to pay for everything. We got to pay for firewood. You think about it. We got to pay for firewood. It used to be you just cut a cut down some trees and then chop your own wood. And then you had firewood for the whole winter and stuff. But today you got to go buy. You got to go buy wood. And you got to go buy it from people that don't know you and don't really care about you. And this is the picture that was going on here. They was having to buy stuff from their enemies. Look here in verse number 5. He says here in verse number 5, our necks are under persecution. We labor and we have no rest. You think about it. They don't even have no rest in their own land, ladies and gentlemen. Now, why is that? You know, it's because they had sinned. Remember, see, that was part of those curses in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Remember over chapter 28, you had Deuteronomy 28, the first 15 verses talking about the blessings, but then the last 40-some verses was talking about the curses. And when you come to Deuteronomy 28, verse number 65, it says, and among these nations shall thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and a failing eye and sorrow of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it was evening, and at evening thou shalt say, would God it was morning, for the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. He says it's going to be so bad that when the morning time comes, you say, oh man, I wish it was nighttime. And then when the nighttime comes, you say, oh, I wish it was daytime. In other words, these people, they really didn't even want to live. It was hard to live because in the daytime, it was just so hard to make it because, and he's going to talk about that later on, about you know the sun and how hot it is out there. And so you're going to find out later on a lot of things was against these people. And so they realized, they said, our neck are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. And then notice here in verse number 6, what else did they, so they done lost rest. Now think about what they done lost. They done lost their property. They done lost their family. They done lost their rest. And then notice here, he described the situation. We have given the hand to the Egyptian and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Now, when he said we have given the hand, in other words, we done shook hands. We done made deals. But look who they're making the deals with. They're making deals with the Egyptians. In other words, foreigners. We are making deals with Assyrians. People that don't really care about them. They're getting, in other words, they're having to choose between the lesser of two evils. Babylon is running the nation right now. They are vassals of Babylon. They are servants to Babylon. And so they are looking to these other nations to give them a little relief. But these other nations don't care about them either. And so, you know, when I look at America, you think about when we're getting ready to vote. We got to vote most of the time for the lesser of two evils. Both of them bad, but we got to vote for the one that is not as bad as the other one. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, that's a sign of the judgment of God. And then notice here in verse 7, he says, our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have bore their iniquity. And so, why did they lose their property? Why did they lose their family? Why did they lose their rest? They ain't got no rest now. Why is they got to make deals with the lesser of two evils? It's because their parents and foreparents sin. They violated the law of God. They went against God. And whenever you go against God, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. See, the Bible says righteousness is what exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. And so we see that the people are praying for that God remember them. We have a prayer for remembrance. A prayer for remembrance. And in that prayer, they were describing, Jeremiah is describing the condition of the people in the land. But notice, he goes on from bad to worse. He continues the description of the conditions of the people. Notice verse number 8, he talks about how the slaves are their rulers. Look at verse 8. He says, servants have ruled over us. There is none that does deliver us out of their hands. Think about it. When Babylon began to take over, they put servants. They put their servants there, slaves there. And these slaves began to be their rulers. You think about it. The people that were slaves in Babylon is now their rulers there in Jerusalem. That's a bad condition. That's a bad condition. Notice something else. They had to go through danger just to get their food. Verse 8. We got our bread with the pearls of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. Now think about it. They had to travel to go get the food, but they had to travel on dangerous roads. They had to travel on dangerous roads, and they had to have swords. They had to have, in other words, they had to be packing in order to make it. Just to go to the stove, I'm putting it in our language, just to go to the stove and back, they had to risk their life. You didn't know if you was going to make it back safe, because a lot of times people would rob you of the bread. They'll wait till you go get the bread, and then once you get the bread, a gang would take you over. And so you had to travel most of the time in groups. Because if you tried to travel by yourself, the gang would just take you over. And so it was a war. It was a war to just get food. Notice it talks about how our skin, verse 10, was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. Notice how their skin done turned black from lack of food. And you'll see that when people don't eat, they don't have no food to eat, they are malnourished, they ain't been eating, their skin turned black. Their skin will start turning black. And Jeremiah is saying that, saying, look at these people, their skin is turning black. Because they malnourish. And then think about it. So we see it's going from bad to worse. And then their women's are being raped. Verse number 11. They ravished the women's in Zion. And these are church women's. Jerusalem is often called Zion. And Zion is often called Jerusalem. And they are women's of Zion. They are women's of Jerusalem. These are church women's. Think about it. Church women's are getting raped. Now, I can understand if the prostitutes was getting raped, but these are church-going women's are getting raped. And the maids in the city of Judah. Think about it. These virgin girls are getting raped and stuff. And so we got, in other words, the best women's are getting raped. The best women's are getting raped. Then look what else going on. Princes are hanged, verse 12, up by their hands. The faces of the elders were not honored. Think about it. You got, they hung their leaders. They executed their leaders. Their leaders was executed before them. Remember Zedekiah, the king, was arrested by Nebuchadnezzar. And they brought him and they brought his sons before him. Remember, they executed his sons before him. And then they put out his eyes. And so the last thing he saw was his sons being killed. And so Jeremiah saying, is they hanged the princes by their hand, and the faces of the elders were dishonored. In other words, they was tortured. They was tortured. And then notice verse 13. They took the young men to grind, and the children fell under the wood. Notice they enslaved the young people. Young people became slaves. The young men, they made them grind at the millstone. Stuff that the animals used to do. They would take like an ox or something, a mule or something, and they would make them go around the millstone and push that old meal handle. But notice, the young men's now is doing that stuff that animals used to do. They got the young men's doing that. And children are woodcutters. Children are woodcutters. They're making the children cut the wood. What a sad situation. And then a lot of times, they ain't cutting wood for themselves. They're cutting woods for others. So they cutting wood for their leaders and stuff. They're cutting wood for these people, for the Babylonians. And so they have enslaved them. They're making them work as slaves. Oh, what a bad situation, church. Then notice, but the book ends with a plea for restoration. It ends with a plea for restoration. And I'll just read the rest of that. It said, the joy of their heart is ceased. The dance is, so it's no more joy there. Their eyes, they crying and what have you. But verse 19 is what I want you to see. Thou, O Lord, remaineth forever, thy throne from generation to generation. And so he's asking, wherefore dost thou forget us forever, forsake us so long a time? He's asking God, is you going to forget us forever? Is you going to forsake us a long time? He says, turn thou unto us, to thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as old. And so, rather than ending the book on a sad note, he ended on a high note. He asked God to remember them. He's asking God to restore them. The same God that can open the door and bring about condemnation is the same God that can bring about a restoration. And so regardless what you're going through, as David prayed and said, I lift mine eyes to the hills from which come my help. My help come from the Lord. So whatever you're going through today, look up. Always keep looking up. I know you can look down at your situation, but after you finish looking down, don't forget about looking up, because there's hope in God. That's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.